Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f- So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Welcome to the Sherlock's Highlights podcast with me, Charlotte Collins. This week, I'm joined by Lou Huff, Becky Hull, and Dior Bediarco. Dior is the founder of the Junior Network, a members club for young professionals just starting out in the fashion industry. And Pepper Your Talk, an online platform full of tips and tricks for how to break into the business. She's helped tons of young women find roles and mentors in every corner of the industry and is just about one of the most positive, inspiring women on the gram right now. Welcome, Dior.
Hi, thanks for having me, guys.
You're very welcome. We will talk a lot later about what you're up to and all the amazing things you're doing to help young girls break into the fashion industry. But we're going to talk about beauty now. Becky, it's affordable beauty buys of the month time. Do you want to talk us through some of your new favourites?
There are so many good new affordable beauty buys this month. And the one that really sticks out is Morphe's Wonder Tint Cheek and Lip Mousse, which is an absolute mouthful. But they have got this really beautiful whipped sort of souffle texture. And you can use them, as the name suggests, on lips and cheeks. But they're just so easy and lightweight to apply. And they're like a cream, but they dry down into a powder. So you kind of get the best of both. Because Dior, as these guys know, I love a cream texture because they just wear for so long. But the benefit of a powder is they really are kind of budge-proof and they don't sort of sink into the creases in your face come 3 p.m. So I recommend checking them out.
Becky, when I think of a mousse, I think, what was that Maybelline mousse from, like, the noughties?
Oh my God, yes.
Dream Matte Mousse, that's the
Dream
one.
Dream Matte Mousse, that is the one. As a texture, mousses are just really lovely to mix, layer and build at will. But I've also put the Lacura Miracle Oil for face, body and hair, which basically is a really impressive dupe for Elizabeth Arden's Miracle Oil. Brilliant for skin, hair, cuticles. It's really rich in oils and it feels quite luxe despite the really affordable price tag. So you can use it everywhere. And then one more, I'm going to pick the Elf Sheer Slick Lipsticks because these are really dewy as a tint. They've got 8 suits all shades, but I love the golden pear. It's a really flattering nude that again really suits all complexions and you can just use them literally all over on your eyelids, anywhere, for just a really dewy sort of healthy flush of colour.
I feel like nobody makes lipstick that can't be used on your eyes, cheeks, etc. anymore, do they?
No, but then I do think there's a lot of textures now coming out that you can just use all over. And I think makeup artists always say it's about not being afraid to just go for it, because at the end of the day, you just take it off if you don't like it. But those e.l.f. lipsticks are very sheer in texture and just, as I said, really nice and watery almost.
I have never found a lipstick shade that suits me, ever.
I had one and it's been discontinued.
Oh, what was it?
It was Plink by MAC. Which I probably wouldn't wear anymore, but it was because it was a very kind of pearly pink. But I agree with you, Lou. I find it really hard.
Yeah, I don't know. It's just, if it's ever like tried on me or I see them on other people, I think, God, that looks gorgeous. Like it's a real pop of colour and, you know, really accentuates your features. But whenever I've tried it on, it just looks rank.
Becky, you know, I love using Pillow Talk, Charlotte Tilbury Pillow Talk lip liner with Vaseline.
Yeah.
So then you kindly gave me the Pillow Talk lipstick, which you would then think is the same, but it's not. It's a lot darker. I agree with you, Lou. I feel like there's something quite kind of, maybe it's grown up about lipstick, which makes it harder to wear.
Yeah.
I must admit, the reason I recommended those lip slicks from e.l.f. is because it's got that sort of balmy texture, which I think is so much easier for sort of everybody to wear. Mm. Like Lou, you could probably find it really easy to adapt to that shade because it's a bit more balmy, whereas I think lipsticks can be, for anyone, quite hard to find your sort of go-to.
Mm. What do you recommend for finding your shade?
For finding your shade, they always say if you're looking for a nude, it should be the colour of your inner lip.
No way.
But typically, I think colour-wise is very hard. I think if you're a cooler shade, then you can get away with actually quite bold textures. But also, darker skin tones can get away with such beautiful, like, corals and reds. So I think it's about having a play and not being afraid to kind of give things a go. But, you know, definitely try the lip trick for nudes, because I think nudes are so flattering and everyone should sort of own one.
Dior, are you a lipstick girl?
When I feel like I need a bit of power in my life. And then I go all the way out with a red lip from MAC. Ruby Woo is my go-to for years.
But I also love Ruby Woo as well. That is my red as well. So it goes for all different skin shades, right?
Definitely.
It does. It works for everyone.
Yeah, it really does. And do you have a kind of nude or like a skin-coloured one that you go to?
I have like this every day. I think Elizabeth Arden, but I don't know what the colour is. My lip liner is Chestnut from MAC. That one's amazing.
Just going back to finding your perfect colour match, I have a website to recommend. Becky, I don't know if you know about this, called Findation, which is game-changing. So this is a website for if you want to buy concealer or foundation online and you don't know what colour to go for. Obviously, now we're all kind of going to shops a little bit less as well. It's like the perfect invention. It's genius. You go on this website and you basically enter the name of the products that you use already. So it's like, I already like this foundation in this colour and this foundation in this colour. And then it makes either suggestions to you kind of generally about from like, you know, every single brand about what could work for you. Or you could say, right, and now I'm looking for, you know, Pat McGrath, tell me which colour I would be in her concealer. And it generates it for you. It's incredible. And it's not in like a kind of annoying app way. Like, it's genuinely so efficient. Like, it has every different concealer and foundation you could ever possibly have used registered.
Do they take photos of your skin as well?
No, because it's about what you use in the past.
So
when I did it, that's exactly what I wanted to find. I wanted to know what shade of the Pat McGrath concealer I would be. So I put in that I use IT Cosmetics CC cream, and then it comes up with all the different shades that you could possibly be. So I'm whatever, warm honey or something. Put that in, you know, Estee Lauder Double Wear Light, and I wear it in tawny and in fawn. So they had all three of those that I use.
Yeah.
And then it told me which of the concealer shades I would be.
We wrote about this for How to Shop for Your Foundation earlier this year. And another one that came up is matchmymakeup.com.
Okay. And is that a similar thing?
Similar vein. Yeah. Just wanted to share that little nugget there.
And with a concealer, because obviously they say sometimes with your concealer that you go shades lighter than your foundation, depending on, I guess, what you're using for, if you're highlighting, concealing. How did you then work out which shade of that to then go for?
So
was it exact match?
The reason that I wanted that concealer in the shade of the foundations I use is because I had seen a makeup tutorial where they used it almost as a replacement for foundation. So for me, it was for more of like a foundation finish.
Okay.
But I guess you could then just go a shade lighter. If they say, well, this is in line with the foundation you use and you wanted something paler, then you go paler, you know?
And whilst we're here, should we talk about how incredible the results were?
I put this on Instagram over the weekend. It's insane. Becky, this concealer is unreal. It's the Pat McGrath Labs Skin Fetish in Sublime LM14. It gave me the most flawless finish. I'm absolutely obsessed with it.
And did you use it on your face?
I used it a little bit here in between my eyebrows, kind of running up to my forehead. Yeah. I'm trying to describe this the best I can. But quite a lot here under my... I've got a real dark eye problem at the moment. I don't know why. So quite a lot here. And that's kind of where I look the most blemished, which between like my eyes and my nose, like the corners of my cheeks. So yeah, quite a lot there. And then on my chin. And then I just kind of buffered it in.
Wow.
Pretty much everywhere. Right. But seriously, her products are superior. And actually, Adeola, when she last came on the show, kindly gave me one of their highlighters, which I've also been obsessed with. So,
Oh, I need to check it out.
Same. It's amazing. I want to go get it today.
Dior, what are your favourite affordable beauty buys? Do you buy affordable beauty or do you tend to go a bit more luxe?
It depends. But my typical routine is not affordable. I mean, it is affordable, but it's not from the high street.
You couldn't possibly afford it.
It's not. But I do get lip gloss from Kiko. But actually, the most affordable part of my routine is my face wash. And a lot of people are against bars of soap, but the Carbon Theory bar, I've used it for like a year and a half, and it works like a charm.
Ooh. That's so interesting.
Yeah. During lockdown, I had this like crazy breakout, and I stopped using everything apart from the Carbon Theory soap and Nivea moisturizer, and it completely cleared everything up.
I have to say, like, that sometimes it's so great when you get, you know, get to try new products, but that is when my skin is the worst. The more I'm using and the more complicated my routine is, you got to strip it back sometimes. And does the soap work? I mean, what, like, it's literally a bar of soap, you rub it in between your hands, you rub it soap on your face. How do you do it?
It's like basic, like normal bar of soap, kind of lather it on your hands, kind of rub it into your face and then rinse it off.
Amazing.
And I know soap kind of does strip and dry your face out, but then the Nivea is quite thick, so then that kind of puts all the moisture back in. And it just doesn't irritate me. I don't break out. Really good. No issues. Yeah.
You got to go with what works, haven't you?
Yeah, exactly.
Lou, any new affordable beauty buys to mention?
None are really new, but they're kind of my go-tos for years. Body moisturizer, E45, can't beat it. It's fantastic. I often struggle with little pimples on the back of my arms and, you know, a little bit of exfoliation, and E45, it's really lightweight as well, so it doesn't feel too like sticky or clunky. And also the Body Shop Vitamin C SPF 30 moisturizer is such a hero if you want, like, obviously everyone knows that vitamin C is all about the glow, but again, it's not too greasy, it's quite lightweight, and it kind of immediately, if you just feel like your skin is just looking a bit flat and dull, immediately that will just give it a kind of a bit of a kick, and it smells like oranges. So yeah, that's always a winner, and it's, I think it's about £14.
Yeah, I just think the pot's a bit too small, it finishes so quickly.
Yeah, true.
Where does one go find the Body Shop? Presumably you can shop it online now.
Yeah, you can shop it online. And you know what? They always have a sort of a 20, 30% off voucher code. So it ends up being super affordable. But I've used that for years and years. So yeah, it's always a good one.
We're going to talk about sleep now. It's a pretty popular subject every time we write about it. We wrote a feature on 11 ways to create the ultimate sleep environment. So I want to know, what do you guys do to guarantee you have a really good night's sleep? How do you optimize your sleeping environment, Dior?
I don't close my curtains. Everyone thinks I'm crazy. I don't.
Wait, how does that help?
It helps me wake up from my sleep. I don't have sleep issues.
Okay.
So it's less about like getting to sleep and it's more about waking up.
Okay, got it.
Living my life. But I also do use the This Works sleep spray. That's like a gorgeous, I think it's like eucalyptus. I'm not sure. I'm really bad with scents. I just know what smells good and what doesn't.
People love it, don't they?
Yeah, it really works.
Mm. Okay, so I get it. You're lucky. I'm a bit like you as well. Don't really tend to struggle with sleep, but I agree, getting up is a bitch. Becky, are you a good sleeper?
I am a really good sleeper, and I've always kind of thought I'm so lucky, and one day I sort of feel it's going to bite me in the bum because I honestly get to sleep in about 10 seconds. Having said that, I get the odd time on a Sunday night where I can't get to sleep, and I think it's where your brain's just doing overtime. And the one thing I really rate is I've got a Neom wellness reed diffuser, and it just lifts your room with like essential oils. You can also get them in Muji really affordably. And it just makes you feel quite calm. And I also recommend sort of, you know, when you've got fresh sheets, when you've got new bedding and kind of having a really nice relaxing shower just before, when you feel clean and cozy, that kind of is enough to get me off to sleep.
I have to say, I think of myself as a really good sleeper, and a bit like you, I'm very lucky, I drop off straight away. But actually, I have to be incredibly comfortable. There have to be a lot of things that have lined up in order for me to be like that, I suppose, which I agree are comfortable, clean, fresh sheets, and I need a duvet. Even if it's the hottest night of the year, I can't be doing with a sheet or like nothing at all. Like, it has to be a duvet. Really, you're a sheet girl.
I just couldn't go duvet in that heat wave we had the other week.
I was lucky I was away for the heat wave, but yeah, I'm a fan and a duvet kind of combo girl. And I also need about 8 pillows, and I need an eye mask on, and I need silence.
Your routine is bougie.
That's quite, it's very demanding, my routine, isn't it? But yeah, it's an eye mask is like an absolute, I just started sleeping with one, and I don't even think it's the darkness. I think it's just, you know, when you're used to like the feel of something.
The weight.
The weight of it, exactly. And yeah, and I really can't sleep if there's any drop of noise anywhere whatsoever.
I love noise when I sleep.
Do you? You're lucky.
I've slept in clubs.
No, you haven't.
No, you haven't.
Yeah, but it doesn't count if you're drunk.
No, I'm not even a huge drinker. I think it's because I grew up with so many people around me in my house. So, like, noise is actually really comforting to me.
I am very jealous of all of you because I have real trouble sleeping. It literally takes me, like, about an hour every night to get to sleep, mainly because I just cannot switch my head off, and I wish I had a little button I could be like, thoughts off you go now. So yeah, I really struggle. So things like making sure I haven't been on my phone or on my laptop or on my emails before is always really key. Like, if I'm working late, even if I then, like, I have to have a bit of downtime in between, otherwise I just can't sleep properly. As you guys said, fresh sheets, fresh pajamas, also getting into a bed that has already been made. Getting into an unmade bed, I think, is a recipe for disaster as well. Always having water by my bed. Also, someone's once told me to have a notebook by your bed. So if you kind of wake up in the middle of the night and your mind is like whirring with like lists and things like that, just jot them down. And then, you know that they're there and you can pick them up in the morning. Not going to forget about them.
It's a brain dump, that's called.
Yes, exactly. I like having the window open. I'm a sort of like flannel pajama, hot water bottle, but the window wide open kind of girl.
Okay.
So, you know, I like to be like cozy but fresh.
Okay, got it. Ben has like the car windows down and the heating like blaring in his face.
Like yeah, exactly. But yeah, I really struggle with sleep a lot. So yeah, happy to take on any tips.
There was an interesting point in this feature about exercise, which said that if you exercise too close to bedtime or in the evening, then you've raised your endorphins levels and that can actually really affect your sleep, which is really interesting because I'm a morning exerciser. But the couple of times that I have exercised in the evening, I really do notice that I feel like it's going to knacker me out. But actually, if anything, I just feel quite wired by it.
Actually, I find that when I go swimming quite late in the evening, I am so tired that it doesn't even matter. Like, I will literally, as soon as I get in, it doesn't even matter if it's like 5 p.m. I'm going to sleep.
There's something like particularly tiring about swimming, isn't there?
Yeah.
And maybe that's because it's less with a HIIT class or something, you're kind of, you know, raising, lowering, whereas swimming's a bit more consistent.
Yeah.
So maybe that's why.
Actually, as well, a nighttime bath is heaven. I went to a hotel last week and I had a bath pre-dinner and post-dinner, which was just heavenly. Oh.
All right. Well, other tips in this feature, including things like turning the lights down. Do you all want maybe one for you? But this says bright lights activate higher levels of brainwave activity. It also says to plan ahead. So to take your sleep more seriously and begin your slowing down and relaxation process. Lewis, it's 3 hours before going to bed. I don't know how realistic that is, but
yeah, no.
There you go. All right. Well, for more tips, then have a look at the feature on this site. We're going to talk about staying on top of your inbox now. It's become kind of even more necessary than ever, hasn't it, since we're not getting as much face-to-face interaction anymore. And we wrote a tip of all the best ways to make sure your inbox doesn't get out of control. Lou, I'm going to come to you first because I know you do suffer from an out of control inbox. So what are you doing about it?
Yes, I do. And I particularly get sort of inbox dread when you're in a meeting for sort of over half an hour and I can literally just feel my inbox kind of building up. To be fair, I probably need to follow these points because I definitely don't practice them as well as I should do. But I remember someone once saying to me, don't read an email unless you are ready to action it. So even if you read it and then you know you can't do it straight away, always then mark it as unread so you know you're going to come back to it. Because I think, especially if you've got a very busy inbox and you've got kind of tasks coming at you and your to-do list is building, then often I think if I read it, I'll just forget about it if I don't either write it down with a kind of an action upon it. So that would be a really good tip. Also in Gmail, there's a task, a sort of to-do list management that you can flick out from the side of your email, which I use a lot. And it's kind of got like a subtask which you can tick off, and I'll even be as anal to be like, I'll write a task and then take it straight away just so I've had the satisfaction of marking it as done. So yeah, I think it is tricky. I know there's some people in the team which literally they're only on top of their inbox if their inbox is at zero, which I aspire to be like that. But sadly, not quite there right now. Maybe definitely when we're back in the office, I will be there.
I don't think I've ever seen your inbox at zero, so
no.
Keep dreaming. Are you a zero inbox kind of girl, or are you a like 13,000 unread person?
Yeah, I'm a 13,000 unread. I don't care. I'm an unread everything, like my phone.
So, I find it so stressful.
I find it stressful constantly checking stuff. I will respond to everyone and I endeavour to do it like within a day. If it goes more than 2 days, I do feel anxious about it.
Mm-hmm.
But like generally in my life, I'm just so happy to ignore stuff. I'm like, if people need me, they will find me. Like genuinely, that's my attitude in life.
That's true.
My WhatsApp, I have 300 unread. I'm just like, I'm just not going to do
what?
It.
What? So anxiety inducing.
Yeah. Everything. Like whenever I like screenshot my screensaver or whatever and I put it on Instagram, I always get DMs like, oh my god, your inbox numbers. I'm just like, can you chill?
I just find that really interesting as a business owner, obviously, because
yeah, what are you missing?
Yeah, how do you know that you're not missing stuff?
So typically what I do, obviously I see the name of the subject come through because I have notifications.
Mm-hmm.
If I feel like it's important and it's going to take me probably 5 minutes or even 2 minutes, I do it straight away.
Mm-hmm.
If not, I do it all at night and then I send it in the morning and then I'm done with it. I won't look at it again. So I kind of use that rule.
Okay.
I don't know what I can ignore.
One of the points in this feature was about sticking to a schedule. And I think that actually is really important. If you're like, right, okay, I've got now like a half an hour window where I'm going to be like plowing through my inbox and responding to things. And then you kind of move on to something else. That's, I think, where my downfall is that I sort of like jump in between tasks and emails and responses. And yeah, it's not the most efficient use of time, I think.
Can I tell you what I do? And I feel like nobody ever recommends doing this, but it just really worked for me, which is that I reply to every email as soon as I get it. Like every email that that requires a response, obviously not like a press release or something, but any email that requires an action, I do probably 90% of them anyway. I do. It doesn't matter what I'm doing. I interrupt what I'm doing to respond to that email.
Oh, I couldn't do that.
Yeah, I don't know. And I've just always done it like that. And that's how I keep my inbox at zero, because I stop as soon as that notification comes in. I either delete or respond, or I might like star it to come back to it later. But I deal with it, or I put it on my radar, I guess, the second it comes in. And that way, then I have an empty inbox at the very least.
Right. But doesn't your day feel very fragmented? I went to a talk and they said that we don't realise, but that's it. I don't know about your life, but it contributes to us being miserable in life.
Possibly. Yeah, maybe.
There's your answer, Charlotte.
That's what I've been doing wrong, I guess. Yeah, I don't know. I don't find... Obviously, if I'm in the middle of something that requires, like, you know, heads down, absolutely no distractions whatsoever, then I wouldn't do it. But no, I don't find it makes... If anything, I feel more stressed if I know there are people trying to get hold of me that I haven't gone back to than I would, I think, if I was doing it the other way around.
Yeah.
Don't know. That just works for me.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Becky, what about you? How do you manage your inbox?
Do you know what? I feel like I'm in happy medium here. Sometimes I would say that when the going gets tough and things really pick up in terms of pace, that emails are way low on my to-do list, because obviously a big part of my job is writing, and I don't find it productive to come away from writing and answer someone's email. Do you know what I mean? Unless, of course, it was something urgent. So I would say they fall down my to-do list quite a bit, but I have started in lockdown having a bit of a power hour in the morning just to clean my inbox, because it has, the past few weeks, I feel like it's coming into new sort of season. Everyone's kind of getting going again on new launches. And I think now more than ever, well, all the time really, but I just think keeping on top of it, a set time each morning, and then you're set up for the day to keep deleting the stuff that isn't relevant. It just kind of structures your day a little bit. But yeah, I would say that when it gets really busy, my emails do suffer. Sorry, yeah. Everybody.
Do you guys ever use the schedule function to send emails at a later time?
Yeah, I've done that a couple of times, just because I think sometimes you don't want to be sending people emails at, you know, 10:30 at night. But if that's kind of your time where you're able to plough through your inbox, then, you know, each their own. So, yeah. But I think it's polite to send it then first thing in the morning, because it's not going to be actioned. So
I agree. I wish more people would do it.
Yeah. Mm.
Another thing that I will do is archive content rather than delete things. So it's still there in my inbox, but it's kind of not clogging up the first page of my inbox.
So a lot of people file their inbox, don't they? And they put things like into certain categories. I have to say, I don't do that. I'm just looking at my inbox now. My first page is 1 to 50 of 10,649. So I kind of keep everything just in the one inbox.
Okay, so this is very different, Charlotte. So when I say zero inbox, I mean nothing there. So that means the email has either been archived, deleted, or filed.
Okay, interesting. Mine just means zero unread.
Yeah, yeah. So I often have that, but yeah, the emails are in other places.
Got it. Okay, fine. Well, in which case, I'm very behind zero, because as I said, I've got 10,000 or something. So. Do you file things up? Do you separate things? No, I'm guessing.
In the very beginning, I did. And then I don't have the time for it. Like, when I don't enjoy responding to emails. I actually find it the most boring part of everything I do. And I just feel like, just call me. So no, the extra work of like putting it in a folder and remembering,
I ain't got time. You sound so chilled.
I'm just going to give chill. You,
let's just like, I'll pick up the phone, we'll have a chat, there's no drama with you.
when we had our call, it was like 6 minutes, right?
Yeah.
If that was an email, that would have gone back and forth like 15 times. What is
so
the
true.
Point?
So true. Yeah. So much easier to just pick up the phone.
Yeah.
All right. Well, other business owners, you should be taking tips from Laid Back Jewel over here. Okay, other tips on the feature included things like unsubscribing from the unnecessary. That is a key one. I also love reporting spam. An email comes in, I'm like, spam, get out. And switching to instant message. At Sheerlux, we do that a lot. Gmail has a great instant message function. People love Slack as well, don't they? That's a kind of, I much prefer that if you just have something quick to say rather than, an email feels more formal, doesn't it? We're going to talk a bit about fashion now. It's that real kind of back to school feeling, isn't it, right now? We're recording this, it's the 1st of September, you know, schools are going back this week, and I don't know about you guys, I love the beginning. This is my favourite new season in terms of fashion. Lou, I know you are nodding, you feel the same.
Oh,
I want to know, what is on your wish list? What are you buying for this season? What do you look forward to about autumn winter?
Oh, yeah, you're so right. This is my absolute favourite time of year. It's almost like when you start to feel the air getting a bit cooler. Today is like perfect example. It's bright blue skies, but there's a chill in the air. It's kind of like rosy cheeks, got a cozy knit on. Like, I absolutely love it. School's going back and we are also going back into the office from next week, which means like ditch your home about comfies. We're like actually going to be dressing up for work again. So yeah, I'm looking forward to it. I bought a new blazer during lockdown, so I'm super excited to wear that and give it its first outing. And then just back to like chunky knits and boots, which is really like almost like my bread and butter. And I hate dressing for summer months. So yeah, I'm excited to be covering up a bit more and just layering. I feel like you can be way more experimental, but I think you can look a lot more stylish by layering and I guess show your style a bit more authentically. So I'm looking forward to that.
Yeah, the more you can wear, the easier it is to express yourself.
Completely.
You still got a holiday on the agenda.
Yes.
So how are you still trying to kind of stay in summer mode until that's out of the way?
Yeah, you read my mind completely. I've literally had like Saturday, I just went and panicked for everything that I saw in the shop. Also because you can't try things on. So I just bought like probably like 20 days worth of holiday outfits for a 4-day trip.
Great. Where are you going, Dior?
Everyone's going to Mykonos.
Nice.
Which is going to be, I literally cannot wait. But I have this issue every year where I go to Ghana for Christmas as well. So I'm always shopping summer clothes in the like middle of winter or when autumn's about to start. So I'm still thinking about summer clothes. Although I am excited, like right now I've got a shirt on that I never have even worn before, but I'm just like, it is what it is. And jogging bottoms. And I actually have been shopping more structured stuff. So like blazers and blazer dresses and like raiding my dad's wardrobe and taking his places. Because I feel like I'm craving that power again. Like,
yeah.
I want to be in joggers all the time.
Totally agree.
And you're so right. It's that structure as well. I think when you've got that that form even around you and that silhouette makes you just feel a bit like, okay, I'm ready.
Ready for work.
Exactly, because those are the things that have been neglected. Like, you know, you can wear a silk blouse around your house or whatever, but you're like, realistically, has anyone worn a blazer around their house over the past 6 months? Probably not. So yeah, it's those things that I can't wait to get back into. And borrowing from your dad, I love that.
Yeah.
That's so clever. My dad is significantly larger than me, so I'm not sure it would work, but that's cool. Yeah. I love that.
It's crazy. I'm in his flat now and he lives in Ghana. So he's got like, he's weird. Like every home he owns, he has clothes there so that when he travels, he doesn't have to pack with him. So I was just like, oh, now that he's not in the country, let me actually have a good look. And I found so many gems.
He'll come back and have no wardrobe once you've been done with it.
Do you know what? My perfume was all over it and I didn't think. And it's a really strong oud. And I was like, I need to get this off because he shouldn't know that I've been wearing it.
What's the best thing you found?
This, I think it's like an Armani blazer and it's like brown, light brown with like baby blue pinstripes. I wore it out like a Saturday ago. Everyone was like, oh my God, I love your blazer.
Cool.
I have like quite a large chest and it actually fit over as well. And it was perfect. So yeah.
We always talk about stealing from your boyfriends, but yeah, hit up your dads, I think.
Exactly.
Becky, what about you? What are you looking forward to wearing over the next season?
Well, a bit like Lou said, I am just such a jeans and boot person. I hate being cold. Like, I would love to be someone that always wears dresses or something with my legs out, but I don't like that feeling of the cold on my skin, so I'm always in jeans. But what I have just bought is a really nice chunky cream knit from Mango.
Mm-hmm.
And I've got it purely to go over dresses for as long as I can continue to wear them. And it's just so warm and it's It's just very sort of goes with anything, goes with nice jeans. And I've also ordered myself some new reddish brown boots from Topshop because they had some little cheeky discounts. So I thought, well, handy, you know.
Great. Boots. Oh, I can't wait to put boots on again. This weekend I nearly did it, but it felt a bit premature. It was still August. But now it's like, it's September. We're here. It's allowed. It's fine.
Yeah.
All right. Well, by the end of the season, we get a bit kind of itchy feet, don't we, at Sheerlats? We're ready to kind of launch on all the new content, but we've had to be saving ourselves. So do keep your eyes peeled because obviously there'll be plenty of fantastic autumnal fashion coming your way. Dior, we're going to talk a bit about you. Now, obviously, founder of the amazing The Junior Network and then also Pep Your Talk. Which came first? Was it Pep Your Talk, which is your website, which is full of amazing content for people coming up in the fashion industry? It was, right?
Yeah, it was Pep Your Talk. And then I don't know what got into me, but I was like, oh, I want to do more. I want to start a club. So then I joined the Junior Network the next year. So Pep Your Talk, I always say it's for like students and graduates and young professionals, but it's almost for like when you're in that transitional period from education to employment and kind of finding your feet, and you really want bite-sized information that's actually the truth, and it's not like a fluffy version of what happens in fashion. It's like real, real facts. And then the Junior Network is a club.
I was looking at Pep Your Talk before, and you've got so much content that I know when I was starting out would have been just so useful. I'm just looking now, you've got features like must-know job positions for aspiring fashion writers. I mean, that's genius. When you look through, it's so true. Like, I wouldn't have known about any of those roles. 10 pieces of brutally honest advice from fashion professionals that all grads should read. Common mistakes when applying for digital marketing roles in fashion. I mean, do you come up with all this content yourself?
So I have the most incredible contributors, and every month I roughly have like a mental theme that I'm going for, and then the contributors send me their ideas, and then I pick the ones that match the theme and what I know people have been DMing us about as well, the kind of common questions we get.
And where did the idea come from? You were at Burberry just before you started it, right?
Yeah. So actually, when I was in uni, one of our tutors said, when you go into the industry, you have to act bigger than you are. You have to act like you know everything. You have to pepper your talk. And I was like, oh, I love that phrase. I generally love that idea of like not faking it till you make it, because I think that can be quite dangerous. But just boosting your confidence and just acting like you're more than you are. Because as a graduate, you are the least experienced out of everyone. And that can really be tough on your confidence. So then when I was actually at Burberry and I realised that I had poor telephone manner, bad email etiquette, I was not confident in a work setting, but I was in real life. And I just generally didn't know how to navigate these different personalities and the hierarchy and characters and understand where I fit within all of that. So then that's when I got the idea to launch the business very naively, as everyone says when they launch a business. I just didn't know what it would entail. But I was like, I have information to share. I can do this. So yeah, I left and then I started the business.
It's brilliant. And the Junior Network is amazing. You have how many girls? It kind of it runs almost like a school year, right? So you have X amount of girls in any one year.
I used to do that, but it was like so taxing because I am an oversharer, overgiver, overlover. I was literally giving the girls, everyone was getting like their one-on-one undivided attention from me. I'd have calls with everyone every day. And I was like, do you know what? I need to kind of reel it in and stop, reevaluate. So what I did from last September is I actually pivoted and made the club purely, what is it, mentorship. So each junior has a senior mentor in fashion who work at the most incredible places and are incredible people.
You have the most incredible network of people. I mean, you run talks for these girls. And I mean, it's like the highest people in every corner of the industry, right? Like, go and drop some names. Who have you had involved?
I've had Henry Holland, Alice Casey Hayford, who was at Refinery, then Vogue, now at Net-a-Porter, I think. Don Wallace, who's at Vogue. So many people from brands, from agencies. I always aim to have the best people on our panels because I want the girls to know that they actually deserve to hear from the best. When you're a junior, you just feel so like underappreciated. So I want them to have that direct connection to the people at the top and get information from them about their careers so that they can kind of plot their own, I can't never say this word, but I'm going to attempt, trajectory. Yeah, there we go.
Yeah. God, and how inspiring is to be at that kind of stage of your career and be speaking to those women who are really at the top of their game and have got, you know, so much to give and inspiration. And, you know, those women also, I guess, will have been on a journey, both highs and lows. So that's incredible to offer that.
Thank you.
How do you persuade people at a senior level to get involved?
You'd be so surprised how many seniors feel like they have nothing to offer. Like, really? I get the emails back sometimes and I'm like, oh, I don't really feel like I have much to say. I'm like, are you joking? 15 years of your life. Just tell us what you do. Like, that within itself is enough.
Yeah.
But I've been lucky. I cold email a lot of people. Like, people think I have this, like, network of just endless people I can contact. That's not the case. I go on LinkedIn, I look on Instagram, I find people, and then I just email them.
Amazing.
I have been told that my email's really convincing, but I don't know what is convincing about it.
That's your next feature idea. You need to write how to write a convincing email.
How to get a reply, basically.
Yeah,
exactly.
One that you would respond to yourself as well.
That's true.
It wouldn't sit in your 300-pound email.
Yes, you're a good case study for people who actually read their emails. And you're working on a really exciting new project at the moment as well, aren't you?
Yes, I am working on the anti-racism in fashion document. So it's like a three-part document. So it's a report, it's an equipping tool for Black professionals, and an educating tool for non-Black professionals, all in one, so that everyone reads it and everyone gets the same information. And essentially, it's supposed to be like an immediately actionable thing where you read it and you implement the information that's in there. Because I feel like so many initiatives are like whizzing around and they're fantastic, but it's going to take a while to implement. Like hiring fairly and changing biases and stuff like that, that's going to take some time. So I just wanted to put some information out there that as soon as it lands, it can just start transforming people's careers. Really excited about it. Never really done anything like this before. So a bit of imposter syndrome. Like, am I an authority to kind of lead on this? But the information's coming together quite nicely. I'm really enjoying putting it together. So, yeah.
What's the biggest takeaway out of it? Like, one thing that somebody could action today as either an employer or an employee?
So there's so many stats that we like have pulled from the questionnaire that we did. And when I compare like some of the answers, so like in one of our questions, it was, are you familiar with your company's policy on reporting racism? And the majority of people said, yes, they are. But then the next question was, would you report racism at work? And the majority said no. So then companies now know that there's a disconnect. Like, you've told people how to report it, but they don't want to. So what is happening within the company culture that needs to be changed? Mm-hmm. And then like another question was, would you speak to your Black colleagues about racism you've experienced? Majority said yes. Would you speak to your white colleagues? Majority said no. And then when we did a focus group to kind of dig deeper, a lot of people said, oh, well, my white colleagues would just brush it off and say, are you sure it was racism? Or they wouldn't understand, or they wouldn't understand why someone commenting on my hair can be viewed as racist, because they could say things like, well, it's just hair, or are you sure it's specific to Black people? Another really interesting one was, have you ever been managed by a Black person? Majority said no. Have you been managed by a white person? About 90% said yes. And it's just like, from the junior network, I know that young girls, Black girls, are entering the industry, but they're not making it to senior level. And that's another thing we have to look at. Where do they drop off? Why do they drop off? What are the barriers? And then also, how does that promote nepotism? Because if you've been managed by a white person, natural biases are that you want to kind of employ and have people around you that look like you and kind of enjoy the same things as you. And that's probably why. So there's just so many interesting observations and analysis that we've made from just looking at numbers, and then adding the focus group element, and then speaking to senior leaders and their experiences. I feel like the report's just the beginning for me. And I'm by no means an expert, but I've learned so much.
I bet. And so, also,
sounds fascinating.
Yeah, so interesting. And also, you've got to start somewhere, haven't you? So how interesting. Where can we find it once? It's like, when will it be live, and where can we find it?
Oh, I'm never sick of a date, because we're almost done.
Okay.
We're almost done. It's definitely going to come out in September.
Okay, great.
People look out for it in September, and it's going to be completely free to download from the Pepper Your Talk website. And I will print some physical copies and send it to some fashion offices as well. Like, if you guys want one, happy to send you one as well, so you have a hard copy. September is the month.
Okay. No date. It's coming.
Yeah. Now you put it out there, you're going to have to stick to that.
Exactly. It's in the public domain now. And Dior, finally, what's the best advice that you could give to somebody who is either just about to start a career in fashion or who would like to?
I always tell people the two things you have to work on are confidence. And it's like a soft skill. Like, being confident is not something that you can put on paper and show someone. It's in the way you speak about yourself and other people. It's in how you speak about your work and your challenges. It's how you show up when you enter a room, how you greet people, how you approach your work. And that holds so many people back. I can have a girl who has the most amazing mind and thoughts, and the way she processes things are great, but she just doesn't convey it accurately. And I'm just like, if you would only just speak about yourself with more like positive adjectives and stuff like that. So confidence, and the second one is contacts. Like, you always have to be networking, never not networking. So whether that's like right now we can't go to events, you need to be going to Zoom events, and even just looking at one person's name, finding them on LinkedIn, connecting with them, asking them how they enjoyed it, adding people on LinkedIn, but not just like pressing add and leaving it. You always have to send a message, or on Instagram, finding cool people you've never heard of and just message them, email them. I always say, like, I don't like DMs. I'm not a fan of DMs on Instagram because I feel like that's a personal space. But find their email. It's really easy to guess people's emails, and just ask them, like, if you're curious about their job, ask them for tips or tricks or advice. But I feel like in fashion, the way you survive is obviously by the quality of work you produce, but also who you know, and never take that for granted, and never think, oh, that person's a junior, so they can't help me, or that person's not in the same exact kind of sector of fashion, so they're not relevant. Everyone can be relevant for something. So just be nice, which is like the most annoying advice, but it's the most relevant ever.
So true. Oh my God, yeah. I feel so inspired now. It's
yeah,
so good
super.
Yeah, thank you so much. So for more information on Pepper Your Talk, then head to pepperyourtalk.co.uk, and that's also where you can find out all information about the Junior Network too. Dior, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you, ladies. I've had the best chat.
Good. Oh, you've been so inspiring. We've loved having you.
Thank you also so much for listening. If you have any feedback at all, please do email podcast@sheerlux.com. We love hearing from you. Don't forget also to rate, review, subscribe, and tell your friends. Bye-bye.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. Hello Fresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. Hello Fresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.